Are you ready to hand the reins of your company to your next level leaders? Do you worry that your key leaders may leave and join the great resignation? David McLennan with Impact Leadership Consulting helps company owners like you to create a growing company with a high-performing team that no one ever wants to leave. To find out how we can help your team say, "I love it here," go to about.davidmclennan.com and book a discovery call.
Welcome to Digital Connections, where we bring in expert advice to connect you with the services and resources to build a successful business and ultimately to create the life of your dreams. This show is for entrepreneurs, business owners, and anyone interested in running a side hustle to their current 9-to-5. One episode at a time, we help you build a successful business through amazing digital connections. I'm your host, Nancy Johnson, a business owner and digital marketer. On my way here, I have found amazing resources that have helped me build my business, and they can help your business thrive too. So everyone needs a friend in digital marketing because digital marketing is about connecting people. And my friends, I mean every word of that. I was put in this life to connect people. This is what I do, and this is why I love digital marketing. When it's done right, it will connect you with the people, products, and services that you need. But there is only so much that you can gain from looking at a website or seeing a review on Google. What you're not going to get from good search engine optimization is the actual human connection that helps us understand who we really want to work with. And that is the purpose of this show. For me, it is a way to give back to the community that I truly love and care deeply for, business owners and entrepreneurs. This podcast is dedicated to finding resources that you can trust that will help your company grow. This is my heart, and this is at the core of everything that I do and everything that my company stands for. So, well, I'm telling you all of this today because I do think that it is important for my listeners to understand this. It is also my way of introducing my guest today, David McLennan, because it's the kind of heartfelt leadership that and drive that David frequently talks about. So David is a fellow podcaster with his show In the Growth Space, and he is also the president of Impact Leadership Consulting, which was created in 2015. He helps public and private companies alike to play the infinite game of business by creating culture by design and strengthening the bench of emerging leaders and improving their organizational health. The company built the Emerging Leader Inner Circle, which has now expanded to the Growing Leader and the Executive Leader Inner Circles, which impact leaders from around the world. So David is a business growth guide who helps leaders integrate their desire for high performance, achievement, and growth while focusing on the things they value most. As an entrepreneur and family business owner for most of his life, he's made mistakes, yet he loves getting out of his comfort zone to learn and grow. He has coached and trained leaders around the world as far north as the Arctic Circle and has shared the stage with John C. Maxwell while training leaders in Paraguay, South America. So David, thank you so much for coming to Digital Connections. I'm looking forward to our conversation.
Hey, Nancy, great to be here. Thank you so much for the opportunity. I'm looking forward to the conversation.
Yeah, absolutely. So what was the catalyst for starting this business?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. We all go through different seasons of our lives, and I just happened to be going through a season of my life where I call it my great awakening. It kind of coincided with me turning 50. And so I was part of a startup company back in 2009. And in 2015, we had grown quite a bit through those years. And I was just really hustling. I was traveling. And it was, I can tell you exactly where I was at. I was in LaGuardia Airport and we had just had a maintenance delay, and I knew I was running tight on time to get home to see my son play in a concert. And this particular concert, he was going to be playing with a 2-time Grammy Award winning sax player. And so I didn't feel like I really wanted to miss that. I mean, who wants to miss that kind of a performance, right? And so the maintenance issue caused some delays, and I missed the first half, but I did get there for the second half of the concert. But it was at that moment that I knew that I needed to do something a little bit different and really make a change. And so it was a process that led me to create Impact Leadership Consulting, because I really wanted to be able to help leaders to really look at their values and create a culture of their organization to match those values. So that's kind of how it all started.
That is very cool. Yeah. And my son is also a musician. And so I understand the value of, you know, when they get those opportunities, you want to be there for them for sure.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah, my son got to play with Alan White from Yes. So yeah, that was cool. Pretty cool. You know,
way back
in the day.
Yeah, that's cool. Awesome.
Well, okay. So how do you help emerging leaders grow and improve their leadership? How did you kind of get into that, really?
You know, it's an interesting story. So I do a lot of work with senior leaders around the idea of culture and how do we create culture by design as opposed to default. Most companies, it's just a default thing. You know, we have, you know, business plans, we have strategy plans, we have financial plans, but we don't ever think about having a culture plan. And so I was working with one of my clients around their culture plan and actually creating that culture plan. And we implemented it. And we recognized that some of the leaders, the second tier, third tier leaders, just weren't didn't have the skill set and the capability to carry out the culture conversations that we needed them to have. And so we got to thinking and doing some brainstorming. And I said, well, what if we create this environment where we can actually teach them some communication skills? We can teach them ways to ask good questions, just some basic leadership type of skills. And so from that, then we created the Emerging Leader Inner Circle, which is basically the start of my work with emerging leaders. And in that environment, we're a virtual group that does, it's a little bit of a mix between some leadership teaching, mastermind and group coaching, and a lot of practice. So we do things like speaking off the cuff, creating scenarios and talking about how we would handle them and just some real life practical application. But I really, the start of that really was just because of some culture work that I was doing with a company. And really now it's the focus of my practice, because I see such a need for leaders to be able to have some way to have a systematic approach to training their leaders and being able to help their next level and their next generation leaders to grow.
Mm-hmm. Well, you kind of touched on some of these, but what are the foundational skills that emerging leaders need, and what are they looking for?
Yeah, it's interesting you asked that, because just today we had two sessions. We have two emerging leader groups now, and the biggest thing that comes up, well, two things rise to the top: communication, and then confidence. And we do work on collaboration as well, but communication and confidence. I mean, you can't believe how many leaders, even if they are at a leadership level that you would think they, you know, have tackled the confidence issue. Everybody deals with it, and so we talk about the inner critic and how do we manage that? How do we soften the voice? But those are the two things, and communication is really key, because so oftentimes there's this myth that a leader has to be the one that's has all the answers and is talking all the time. when in reality, we teach our leaders to ask good questions, because we believe that good leaders do ask great questions. And we want to be able to equip them to be curious and also ask good questions, because when they do that, and then of course, when they listen generously to follow that up, that allows the great communication skills to develop.
Well, and really it's leaders building leaders, right? Because, yeah, because ultimately those are the skills that are needed in order for them to really tap into the value that is there, you know, in their team, right? I was a communications manager for many years, and I watched people, leaders in particular, you know, that's why I had a job, because they didn't have the confidence in their own communications, you know, sure, and they really felt that they needed somebody to kind of come to the table to help that. But a major portion of communications is not talking, it's listening. The irony, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's funny, because I often use something that my dad taught me a long time ago. He basically would say, David, you've got two ears and one mouth. So there's a proper ratio there. And matter of fact, it's funny is because somebody that was on the call today actually brought that up. And I thought, oh my gosh, I thought I was the only one that heard that.
No, I think my dad said it too.
It must have been that generation, you know?
Yeah. So you've mentioned that successful companies invest in their emerging and growing leaders. So why is that? And what are really the benefits in doing that?
Yeah. So I have a foundational belief, and that foundational belief is that if we want our companies to grow, if we want top line revenue to grow, if we want bottom line revenue to grow, we have to have the people that make up the company growing as well. And so smart companies recognize that their people have all kinds of potential within them that perhaps, you know, nobody's ever tapped. And so the great companies of the world are investing in their people to help them to get better. It's not always just about skills, but it's about the inner game as well. One of the things that we teach both in the emerging leader groups and the growing and executive leader groups is that we have to take time to think. Too often, we buy into this myth that we have to just be going all the time, Mach 3 with our hair on fire and, you know, going from one meeting to the next meeting to the next meeting. And while I know that that's a reality for a lot of leaders and a lot of company cultures, it's not a healthy one. And so we believe that by teaching these leaders how to take time to stop and think and actually be comfortable with some silence, it really will help that company to grow, because they're thinking differently, they're thinking deeper. And I always will say too that, you know, thoughts become things. So the things that go on in our head will actually get, you know, created in real life.
Yeah. Go slow to speed up. Yeah. Because a lot of times, and we see it all the time with entrepreneurs, solopreneurs, right? You get going and you end up tripping over yourself if you're not careful. So yeah.
Yeah. You know, as you said that, the one thing that came to my mind is this, it's a Navy SEAL saying, but slow is smooth and smooth is fast. And
yes,
it's really about slowing down and actually measuring the things that you're doing and taking the time to do them deliberately over and over and over again. And when we do that and we slow down and get smooth, then we can actually speed up, and that will help us, you know, when we need to be fast.
I'm so glad you brought that up. It's such a perfect thing, I think, for the beginning of the new year, right? I you know I'm very big into habits, right? And your habits can make or break you. And really at the beginning of the new year, it's time for a refresh. But I felt like, you know, after the holidays, it's an interesting time to be going into that frame of mind, right? Because I think we go through the holidays and we get so complacent, right? And we get a little bit of time off and then it's like, oh, we got to go back and try to get all this started again, right? But it is such a good reminder that that is what habits ultimately do for you. Good habits, you know, yes. And actually forming that consistency, that's what you get from it. And what you don't get if you don't follow that is this rough pattern of just like a start and stop and, oh, I got to get there and I'm not quite there yet. And that's not what you want. You know, I mean, that's not why any of us went into business. And I don't think it's the dream that any of us had when we started our businesses either, you know?
No. Yeah, exactly. Well, and you know, you mentioned habits and I think that it's interesting because we always, at the beginning of a year, we always think about all of these great goals that we want to achieve in the new year. And the interesting part of that is that if we don't change our habits, we won't get our goals, because if there are things that we've not done before and we want to achieve something a little bit, you know, greater or beyond where we've been before, we have to do things differently. And so we have to change our habits, right?
Yeah. Yeah, you're never going to get to where you're looking to go doing the same things you've always been doing. Yeah, for sure. So, you know, creating this culture of care that you're talking about along with performance, it almost seems like it would be opposing forces, kind of. So how do you help companies actually pull that off?
Yeah. So one of the things that I use in the culture by design that I bring to my clients is a framework that starts with behaviors. And so in a lot of ways, we create cultural behaviors that will bring success to the organization. So so the balance of care versus behaviors, you know, it's really interesting because so oftentimes we get in this binary thinking that we have to be, you know, just, you know, badasses or hard asses and not have a caring approach to our people, or we've got to be warm and fuzzy and we have to be soft and squishy and allow a lot of things to slide. And that binary thinking is really, I think, where we make a big mistake, is because I think we can bring both of those together, because we can drive behaviors and lead behaviors that will lead to our success. And because we do that, we show that we and demonstrate that we care for our people. So for example, practicing blameless problem solving just happened to pop into my head. That's a behavior that I know a lot of my clients will articulate. And they say that they want to practice blameless problem solving, but so often the habit and the tendency is to point a finger and really ask the question, who did this, as opposed to what happened. And so by actually creating the behavior and talking about the things that get in our way of practicing blameless problem solving, can actually help us to create that great synergy of care and high performance, because we care about our customers, we care about our people. And we want to not assign blame, but we want to look at, like, what happened? First of all, let's fix the problem. Second of all, let's do a little bit of an autopsy here. What happened? Is it a process that's faulty? Do we need to change the process? Or did somebody maybe not follow the process? And that's where we fell down. And so that's where, as leaders, we can... Let's say, for example, you know, we're talking about practicing blameless problem solving, and we have somebody who didn't follow a process. So the process works, but somebody didn't follow the process. Then we just need to be able to ask, you know, hey, what didn't you understand about the process? And let's understand that. And then going forward, here's what we need you to do. We need you to follow this process. And so being able to think about the forward facing and the forward movement of that individual to follow the process is still practicing blameless problem solving. We just need to help them to understand and understand the process and then follow it.
Mm-hmm. Well, and it also, I think, really helps build trust in an organization when people know they aren't going to be automatically fired because they did something funky, you know, or they messed up, or, you know, maybe their family took precedence or whatever it was that didn't work in the situation. Employees need to have that trust of their employer to be able to invest in that.
Well, absolutely. And, you know, if you think about it, if you have a culture of blame and looking at, okay, who do we need to, you know, point the finger at, mm-hmm. people are going to start to cover up. There's going to be, mm-hmm. you know, if somebody sees something that should be called out, they're not going to say anything. They're going to be able to say, yeah. Oh no, I'm going to get called out on that. So I'm going to just not say anything. So we have to be able to have that level of safety and create that psychological safety within an organization.
Yeah. Or even the old, you know, you'll watch it. It's almost like this cutthroat thing where people, you know, will blame somebody who maybe was not to blame, you know, right. just to kind of get ahead because they know that's the culture that they live in. And, you know, and it all starts with those leaders. So speaking of which though, so I've worked at some fairly large corporations. And I watched leaders kind of use culture as a total buzzword. And, you know, it's more hyping the whole situation, but really that's all it is in the end, right? So how do you keep culture from being just another like flavor of the month that the CEO jumps on?
Yeah, that's a great question, Nancy, because, you know, honestly, that's what happens a lot of times, especially at larger companies. You know, it's the CEO sees something or they hear something at a seminar and they think, oh, I gotta do something about this. And so it does become the flavor of the month. But really what good companies and world-class companies do is they create ways to embed it into the organization. And so we teach a way to create rituals within an organization. Mm-hmm. So what do I mean by rituals? Well, I mean those things that that trigger us to talk about our cultural behaviors. We have to first and foremost define it, and we define our culture in terms of behaviors because, quite frankly, behaviors are easier to see, to mm-hmm. teach, and to give feedback on. So when we see somebody listening generously, we can reinforce that and we can give feedback on that. Or if we see somebody not doing that, we can also give the feedback there. So defining our culture in terms of behaviors then allows us to create a mechanism to practice those. So when you're talking about habits, so you know any type of a habit has to start with some kind of a cue. Mm-hmm. So one of the rituals that we recommend is that at the start of any meeting, we have a short conversation about our fundamental of the week, our behavior of the week. So we call them fundamentals, and sometimes I use those interchangeably. But so let's say, for example, this week's fundamental is getting clear on expectations. So if I'm starting my meeting, the first item on my agenda is to ask a question of the group that's assembled and say, you know, hey, this week's fundamental is getting clear on expectations. What do you think hinders us from getting clear on expectations and asking for clarity? And then allow for maybe 2, maybe 3 minutes of just some open dialogue and discussion. You don't want to get, you know, it shouldn't take over the meeting. But what that does is that short conversation then allows people to begin thinking about getting clear on expectations, that fundamental or that behavior of the week. And if you think about how many meetings you have in a day and in a week, and if you take one fundamental, one behavior every week, you're gonna be able to really reinforce those behaviors and think about them in new ways every day, multiple times a day. And that's what drives behavior. And so when an organization can really have that behavior embedded in it as a way of, you know, hey, that's just the way we do things around here. Mm. That's what's going to drive success for an organization.
Interesting. Yeah, it seems like it's kind of hard to make it a buzzword when it actually is something that you do on a regular basis.
Yeah, exactly. And it's interesting. I had one of my clients, the CEO of the organization, we were talking about implementing this systematic approach. And he goes, you know this is the right thing to do, but the only thing that I'm afraid of is that we're going to create these behaviors and I'm not going to be able to live up to them. And I thought that was pretty brave of him to actually admit that. And my response to him was, you know, that is really one of the most transparent things that I've ever heard somebody say. And I think that the best thing for you to do is actually move forward with this and admit to your people when we do the rollout, when we actually come before all of the employees and talk about these cultural behaviors, by when you kick the meeting off, by virtue of you saying, hey, look, I'm not perfect. I'm gonna fall down on speaking straight or listening generously or getting clear on expectations, whatever those behaviors are, I may not necessarily always live up to them, but I want to get better. And so I need you to help me, and I'm going to help you to get better because as an organization, we need to get better. He did that. He did that in front of the entire employee population, and it was amazing. It was really powerful, and I really appreciated his leadership in doing that because it showed vulnerability, and it showed his ability to see where he may not necessarily be strong. We all have strengths. And sometimes we have places that we aren't as strong. And so by virtue of him admitting that, it really strengthened, I think, his leadership.
Yeah, I would say some of the best leaders I know are people that can admit their faults. But also it just brings this level of connection with people when they know that they work for a human.
Yeah, exactly. <know? laughs> Yes, exactly.
Yeah. So, something also that I've seen from leaders is almost this fear that they're going to do something wrong, especially with like new leaders. And so then they tend to play it kind of safe and they hide behind their new role, if you will. How do you actually get leaders to come out and want to grow instead, right? Because that's the whole deal, right? If you're going to stay in fear, you're probably not going to be growing, right?
Yeah, we talk a lot about that in our Emerging Leader Inner Circle because it's being able to get in a place where we can actually be uncomfortable and practice being uncomfortable. So we do everything virtually. So we're in a small group. But it's big enough that it makes people uncomfortable when they have to speak. And we will do things like speaking off the cuff. We do kind of like our little version of Toastmasters table topics. And, that little exercise helps people be uncomfortable. And that helps them to understand what it means to get outside of their comfort zone in a lot of different ways. And so we do some things like that that really help leaders to understand what it feels like to get outside of their comfort zone. And then really, we talk a lot about busting through what I call the terror barrier. It's that space where, man, I know I'm uncomfortable. I've never done this before, but I'm going to push through it anyway. And I'm going to keep pushing through it so that it becomes a habit. And so that's one way that we do it.
Interesting. I was going to actually ask you about the inner circle groups and, you know, why you do these, like why you advocate these for your clients. You know, to me, like when I first heard inner circle, I'm like, well, that sounds rather snobbish, doesn't it?
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
But I think there's a much deeper purpose to it.
There is. Yeah. Much deeper. Yeah. I appreciate that perspective though. Yeah. So really, one of the things that I've recognized is just the power of being in an environment with other people who see things differently and who have different experiences. And you know, and honestly, it comes from the book Think and Grow Rich. Napoleon Hill wrote this book back in, you know, 1937. Most people probably heard about it. They may or may not have read it, but he interviewed like 500 of the most successful business people of his time. And each one of them had a group of people that surrounded them. And so this idea of having that inner circle, those trusted advisors who can help you see things that you don't see and help you grow and think differently, is so valuable to every leader. So it's one of the, I think it's one of the best tools to be able to help leaders to see their blind spots and to grow and to get other people's perspectives on things. Because, and one of the things that I guess I, as I've experienced the mastermind environment and these inner circles, is just, I don't even have to be the one who's asking the question, but there's a subject matter and something's talked about and something's said, and it pops an idea in your head. And in, and Napoleon Hill talks about whenever there are, you know, two or three people or more together that are coming together for a common good, and they want each other to succeed, there's something that, like, and he calls it the third mind. And it really is kind of, I know it sounds a little woo-woo, but I'm telling you, when you're in that environment and and everybody is working together to help each other, that that idea pops into your head by listening to somebody else. And if somebody else is grappling with an issue, it may trigger some thought for you. I can't tell you how many times I've been in my own mastermind group when I'm not even on the hot seat and I'm getting downloads of, wow, I could do this, I could do this, and based on what somebody else said. So that's why I feel like it's so powerful, that it's just a great tool for growth, and it's a great way to be in a safe environment and to even process things. You know, you can share with people and you're not going to be shot down. I call it a no judgment zone. It's like, hey, I've been thinking about these things. This is unprocessed, but here's what I'm thinking about. Help me to process this differently. What do you see? Ask me questions about it. And that, I think, is the beauty of the inner circles and the mastermind.
Yeah, that is that's actually really exciting. I love getting into a group of people that are working for a similar cause. There is just a feeling that comes from that, and you can actually, it's almost like you can watch the ideas physically grow. Absolutely. In front of you, you know, when you've got that kind of connection. And I will say, you know, I recently had lunch with several people in my inner circle, and I was reading The Success Principles by Jack Canfield. And one of the things he suggests in that book is to ask the people that are closest to you, ask them, you know, where do you see that I can improve, right? Yeah. And we started talking about it at lunch, and they're like, at first they're like, really? Oh, that's weird, you know? And then we actually did it. We went around the circle and, you know, talked about it. And it was just, it was amazing, right? Because you would think that you'd be kind of scared to hear what they're going to say, right? But it isn't that way at all. You just are appreciative for their feedback, and the things that they say to you make so much sense. And you're like, oh yeah, I could definitely do that, you know? Yeah. So I think it's a magical thing, the inner circle, a snobby thing at all.
Yeah, no. Well, and I really think too, when you have a group of people that, you know, want the best for you and are in your corner and they're telling you something that can help you improve, you take that in a much different way than if somebody's coming at you because they, you know, don't agree with you. But if somebody else is coming and sharing something that is a blind spot or an area of improvement, It's so powerful, and it's also received a lot better.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So something that you are working on that I'm really excited about is this collaboration on a project that you're working on this year with the co-founder of the John Maxwell team.
Yeah.
So can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, I am so excited. So, you know, let me back up for just a second, because I mentioned Napoleon Hill's book, Think and Grow Rich. And in that book, he talks about thoughts become things, and and thoughts are things. And so oftentimes we think, oh, you know, that was an interesting thought. But if we take that thought and we actually mix it with action, the creation process is really something amazing. So one morning I'm having my morning ritual time. I'm doing some meditation. I'm doing some journaling. This idea popped into my head, and I had this picture of my in my mind of me on stage with Paul Martinelli, the co-founder of the John Maxwell team, and teaching with him and co-teaching. And we were actually co-teaching his retreat called Turning Point. And so, long story short, I thought, well, that's an interesting thought. And so I sent a note to somebody in my inner circle, in my mastermind group. I said, what do you think? And basically they said, reach out. And so I did reach out. We had a phone conversation. He said, yes. And so now we are collaborating on this event that's coming up in Atlanta in April. And it is an event that really provides a process to help us as leaders, as business owners, to be able to really create and push through our limiting beliefs and really reach our highest potential. Paul Martinelli is just an amazing leader. He's spoken all over the world. He's actually taught this retreat in a number of different countries. It's been a while since he's actually done this particular retreat. But in April of this year, I get to be teaching this retreat with him, and I'm super excited about it. So we're collaborating on this. And as a matter of fact, we just had a call yesterday. And one of the things that he wanted to do was create some kind of like a, he calls it a killer offer. And so essentially what we're doing is anybody who registers for Turning Point for this event in Atlanta, between now and the first part of February, he's going to do a free teaching on beliefs and how beliefs drive our behavior. And so that's the collaboration. I'm super excited about it. Really honored to be able to be a part of this project.
Yeah, I went to the page on your website about it. I was like, oh, that sounds really exciting. I'd like to. I'm definitely going to look at that. So
it's so cool.
It sounds great.
Well, and it really is a process that not only, I mean, we hear about, you know, taking our and creating a growth mindset. This is a process to really give us the tools to grow. And to move past our limitations and our limiting beliefs, and we there's an experiential component of it as well. So one of the reasons why we're doing it in Atlanta is because there's a great place to experiment with the things that we learn about on day one. Because on day two, what we do is we go out to a ropes course and we create let's just say uncomfortable places. And we get to choose your adventure. So you're not going to do anything too crazy, but you get to get outside of your comfort zone. And when you get outside of your comfort zone in a place like that, what we do is we have you notice what's coming up for you and notice the internal dialogue and what's going on. And then when we come back for the second part of day two and into the day three, we kind of pull it all together and have you look at and do some exercises around what were you thinking? What were some of the internal dialogue when you got uncomfortable and when you got outside of your comfort zone? And then how do we apply that in business? How do we apply that in our professional lives? So that we can get outside of our comfort zone and really break through that terror barrier.
Have you ever done this with the ropes course before?
Yeah, actually back in 2000, I think it was 2016, I sat through and went through this exact workshop with Paul. Paul was leading it in Atlanta. And so that's why I know about it. Matter of fact, I have all of my notes sitting here on my desk, and I've been going back through them to see my responses to the exercises that we did. So it's really been kind of fun to see those and go back through them.
That's great. Well, I was going to ask you, you know, do you ever get those people like, I mean, I love heights and I love, you know, any kind of massive adventure, you know, I'm just imagining some of those people that do slacklining, right? Yeah. And they're like, ropes course, no problem. I got this.
Yeah.
Well, you got no fear.
Well, here's the thing. Paul Martinelli is, it's interesting because there are people. So there's kind of like choose your own adventure. There's Chicken Little, and that's where Paul, he goes on the Chicken Little side. There's middle of the road, and then there's the insanity version. And so I'm going to be on the insanity version, and Paul's going to be on the Chicken Little. And I can't get him in the middle. I can't get him to move over to the middle of the road. But yeah, you're right. I mean, some people just, you know, we love to go to the insanity part. Others, you know, and they're not sure. So maybe they'll go middle of the road. And then, of course, we've got the Chicken Little. So, but I won't give Paul too much of a hard time.
Well, one way or the other, I think it's just an awesome deal. It sounds like a really fun experience. So we are just about out of time. So do you have any departing thoughts for us, David?
Yeah, I guess, you know, kind of bringing some of the things that we talked about together. I think one thing that I really believe that as an organization, if we want to grow and we want our companies to build and to grow, we've got to invest in not only ourselves, but we have to invest in our people. And when we do that, it not only is good for the company and it's good for our people, but it's good for our customers as well, because when our people are growing, then our customers are going to benefit, because we're going to have people who are passionate, they're fulfilled, and they're really being the best that they can possibly be. And so I just want to encourage anybody who's listening, if you're a business owner, invest in your people, create your culture by design and not let it happen by default.
I could not agree more. And in fact, you know, from a digital marketing standpoint, honestly, it is the best investment in your brand that you can make, really.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. I agree, Nancy.
Well, thank you, David. I really appreciate it. Okay, before we take off today, I want to leave our listeners with our digital marketing tip of the day. So I'm taking this one straight from a post that I did on LinkedIn a while back, and I think it's very fitting for our first podcast of this new year. This is one around taking advantage of 2020 social media trends. So one of the top suggestions is movement towards long-form storytelling through social media. So I know several great business owners that are actually employing this tactic, and it's working really well for them. With the growth of locations like Clubhouse, Facebook Live audio rooms, and Twitter spaces, people are spending more time listening to and engaging through social storytelling. So telling an engaging story on your business history and future plans may be one of the best ways to engage your audience. And for my audience today, I am offering a free audit of your social media along with a free consultation around your strategy. To redeem this offer, just reach out to me at wsidigitalconnections.com. Once you're there, you can choose to call me, email me, or even set up some time directly. So do reach out to me at wsidigitalconnections.com. A huge thanks to my guest today, David McGlennon with Impact Leadership Consulting. You can find David at davidmcglennon.com. Also, check out his awesome podcast, In the Growth Space. Please make sure to follow us, subscribe, and like us wherever you get your podcasts. You can find this episode and previous shows, along with contact information for all our guests and for me, on our website at www.digitalconnections.us. Have a great week and tune in next time for another amazing digital connection for your business.
So are you tired of seeing little or no return for your marketing efforts? Have you been burned doing business with cheap internet companies that lock you into long-term contracts and provide no tangible results? Do you want people who are actually interested in your products and services to find you easily on the internet? WSI has developed in-depth knowledge and an extensive network of industry thought leaders that know your company's goals and objectives are unique. When you work with them, you not only gain the local expertise of your WSI consultant, but they guide you through an effective strategy based on digital experience of their global network. Work with a company that understands your business and provides real results at a price you can afford. Find them at wsidigitalconnections.com. That's wsidigitalconnections.com.